Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Let's get in the Old Testament there. And we're going to get into Isaiah 50, or 43, sorry. And Isaiah 43 has this wonderful teaching in here we're going to have some fun with. As it is Canada Day, just wanted to just make a couple points here, a couple thoughts. I think for some of us, Canada Day might have mixed emotions. It might be hard to celebrate when we look at the history of that. When we look at our country, we would say that some of the foundational principles were based off of the Word of God. And then like reality, like any, you know, family, any country, any group of people, people start doing things that are very ungodly and against the Word of God. And we've seen some of that tension in our own country. And the concern that I would have is that if I think about when I worked in retail, I thought, wow, that was just, I was overseeing hundreds of people, and it was pretty interesting, the conversations I would have with people. And then I got hired in the church, and I thought, oh my word, it will be perfect. It will be so much easier. And then like me and like you, we just have tensions, and there's this reality. And so I think if we ever look at our country through the lens of thinking about like the Word of God and thinking about the country should just make decisions based off of this. I apologize that there is no country, and there might not, I don't want to speak prophetically, ever until Jesus comes again and makes it perfect. So we got to be careful how we look through those lens, and we get super frustrated at times at our country, other places, when the reality is many people are moving actually to our country because it is so much more opportunities for people. So we've got to balance that. But I want to look at really something that is fundamental. If we could say that there would be any kind of country or group that would follow the Word of God here on this planet, what would that look like? What are some of the principles that the country or this group or this nation would have that we could stand upon? And so I want to look through those kind of lenses. So if we look at this piece of scripture here, we see Isaiah. He's writing prophetically about what will take place in the future. So I want to look at just the context, because if we jump into an Old Testament story without any setting or context, it just, we might not really understand everything that's being said. So we pick it up here in chapter 43. But a little bit of the setting here would show us that the chapter before, because it's important as we read, as even Almi was talking about some, we got to understand what that means. So if we look back just a chapter in chapter 42, we could see a subheading that says this in verse 18, Israel blind and deaf. You're thinking, that doesn't sound very good. The people are blind and deaf towards the Word of God and the things that God is doing. And he talks about how foolish they are. He talks about how they've turned their back. He talks about how they've just run away from God. And then we see in chapter 43, we pick up the story in verse 1. And so after all that being said, this is what it says in verse 1. It says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name because you are mine. Because when we read the story right here, we see that the people are spiritually dead and they've gone astray. And then how does God respond to that? We've seen so many stories in Scripture I've shared with you over the years that we see people actually making foolish decisions and running away from God. And then we see God's heart and his response to that. Nothing that we have done, but everything that God will do. God's only Savior, it says, or Israel's only Savior. We see this as people fail or they, you know, turn their backs. We would expect, because it even says here right in the middle of the verse, it says, fear not, because I would be fearful. You know, as we disappoint people, as we disappoint our parents, as we disappoint those in authority or leadership, we're concerned about what they think about us. Where all of a sudden there's this, oh my gosh, there's this idea that comes into our mind, or there's, oh, it's this tension that comes in our mind. And then we see the heart of our God. Don't be afraid, because I've called you because you're mine. And I knew that there might be a season where you might turn your back on me, but you're still mine. Isn't that just wonderful to think about? Let's look at another piece of scripture just to kind of lay out a bit of a picture of what a cool godly nation, a cool godly country could look like, where we're all his. And even when we lose focus, we're still his. And then we would read things in Romans. So let's go to Romans. So we just touched on some Old Testament. Let's look at some New Testament story. Because it's all throughout here as always. I always wish I had enough time to preach all the pages of my research, but we got to be gentle because of the clock, which is always ticking really fast. So Romans chapter 11 will speak about, you know, again, this community of believers. So a bit of context here. We pick up the writer just saying, you know, if we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, I want you to imagine what that would look like. So the writer here is using something that's, you know, imaginary, using imagery to make sure we understand a godly principle. And it's like a parable Jesus would use. Sometimes we use image. I love imagery. So let's pick up the story. It's talking about a tree. It's talking about branches. It's talking about root systems that they would understand because that's what they did. They were farmers. They understood these terms. So let's try and understand it with them. So Romans chapter 11, verse 17. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, I really want that to say, you honking wild people. But it actually doesn't say that. I thought it would be kind of cool. You crazy individuals. See, Robert Charles Young, that's my name. Robert, on most of my Visa cards, there's a C, Young. C stands for crazy because I'm a wild olive shoot. But it actually doesn't mean that. I really want it to say that, but we can't, you know, put our own ideas. It just means that there's a tree that has branches, and it's taken a different branch from a different tree and grafted you in. It's not that it's wild, but it's wild to that tree. Do you understand the difference? We've got to make sure we understand scripture and not make it say something we want it to say. So though you're a wild olive shoot, though you're a branch from a different tree, you have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Verse 18, don't boast over those branches. It's talking about boasting over the branches that have been broken off. Because if you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you because you're mine again. So what happens when we fall away and go our own ways? So there's some reference here to a different kind of branch being grafted into the good branch, the good tree. We're talking about the root system of Jesus. We're talking about a foundational truth of, you know, good sap. And he's saying, those other branches, don't judge them. Don't point your finger and laugh. Ha ha! I'm in the good tree now. You jokers, a bunch of wild olive, you know, like, don't do that. And so what happens when, for many of us, we're connected to that tree, we feel like, we're like, I got a good branch producing good fruit. And then what do we think about those others? And then what do we think about when the day that we might not feel so connected and rooted and feel like we've been broken off? What's the response to that branch? Come on, this is going to be good. Verse 23, here we go. Are we lost forever? This is what it says in verse 23. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they'll be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in. What does that word say? Again. Oh, thank you, Lord. I am never too far gone. I have never strayed too far away from the love of God. I can be grafted in again. Isn't that wonderful news? That's just so good, man. I just want to finish right there, but we got to keep going, man. This Bible, I tell you, just gets more and more fun the more we hang out and read it together, right? Okay, Ephesians, let's go there for a minute. So we've seen that, you know, we're the Lord's. He's invited us in. We see that no matter how far we go, we get grafted in. We're his. And then we see what else happens. And I understand adoption so well because I was adopted into a family. Praise God. It was so good. Let's look at some verses here. So Ephesians chapter 1, the setting falls here with a subheading of spiritual blessings in Christ. So as we put our eyes on Jesus, what kind of things really come our way? We're not always about like, well, if I serve the Lord, you know, I'm just going to be filthy rich and it's going to be awesome, right? Or my life will be perfect. No, here are some of the blessings that come our way. And sometimes they're not material things. So often we think of like, well, the blessing of God is prosperity. The blessing of God is boats and cars and toys. You know, we think about these things, especially as children. We're like, I need this latest, you know, whatever it happens to be, because it's the coolest movie and it's the action figure. You know, that's what we think as children. And God's saying, maybe just mature a little bit in that area about what you want from the Lord. And so we see this thing, spiritual blessings. And so we're like, oh yeah, sign me up for spiritual blessings. We want this. So in verse 5, it says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus, in his accordance with his pleasure and his will. So what Jesus Christ did for us so that we could be adopted as his sons and daughters, that's a blessing. And that alone, I think, would carry us so far instead of anything else we focus on. We're like, oh, I need all these things. And, you know, if I had my health, all these kind of things, I would be happy. Well, the thing is, if we're adopted into the family of God, God loves to do that. It's his pleasure to do that. It's actually how his character wills to do that. And we see the first word, in what? In like, oh, because you've been good, I should repay you. No, it's in his character of love. In love, I do these things because you're mine and I love you and I want to graft you in and I want to adopt you as sons and daughters. You know, to take up adoption, like, there's quite an effort in the world. It'd be a lot of paperwork, legal, you know, documents. Like, it's a big requirement, and God is the same way. It cost Jesus a lot. It cost him his whole life, and he gave it up for you, so that you and I could be adopted into his life. Oh, man, that's a family you want to be connected to. You know, he would just give up everything. I don't know, as you as a father or as a mother or, you know, grandparent or caregiver, when your kid is hurting, when your kid is like, we just was like in tears last week as our pastor Ben is in the hospital. When your kid breaks something or somebody like hurts your kid or says something negative about your kid, all of a sudden I'm like, it's on, you know, like you're going to go. And God is the same way, not in a physical way that he wants to hurt somebody, but he cares about you so much that he's like, I'll do anything. Whatever the ransom is, I'll give it because I want to be in relationship with you. That's the kind of God that we serve. So this is the kind of, you know, community of believers. This is the kind of nation. This is the kind of godly character that we're to have. And so let's look at just a bit more of this kind of adoption process as we are children of God. So let's jump way into the near the back here. So 1 John, we're going to pick up a story that John is sharing. And he's actually referencing his own book. And so we'll go back to John in just a moment here. But let's just land in 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, with an exclamation point, that we should be called children of God. You know, that's how it's written, so we are to just emphasize that. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. It just says that. And what we will be had not yet been made known, but what we know, that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're children of God, and when Jesus Christ shows up a second time, we'll understand him because we're part of the same family. And this is actually referencing, so we'll go back to John. So in John chapter 1, great, great book. Where are we here? John chapter 1. It says, yet to all who received him, verse 12, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So if we believe in Jesus, we're given the right to become children of God. Verse 13, children are born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. See, I have to hear that. Because in my life, you know, my parents got together, my biological parents got together. I don't think there was a lot of decisions or there was a lot of reasons about that season. And so it didn't pan out. So later on, I had to be adopted because that didn't work out. And so we see here, was it a human decision? Was it a natural thing? Was it, you know, a husband's will? Like, We're going to have 5 kids. I told my wife, I need 10 kids. And she said, you better marry somebody else. You know, so we got 4. We did pretty good. We almost got halfway there. So we're doing okay. But it was a decision that we had made. And God is saying, yeah, you might think you have a decision. Like, obviously, we're great planners, me and my wife. You know, we had their 2 boys, which are our bouncers for our 2 daughters, because they're beautiful like their mother. And, you know, because we're in control of that. You kidding me? As if you have any control over that. You know, you just kind of, you're married, and all of a sudden kids come out. Like, there's no control over that. It just happens or it doesn't happen. You remember our good friend Austin Toews from district office? 6 miscarriages. Like, do you think he would plan that? Oh, I was going to have 6. So the 7th will be cool because 7's awesome. And, you know, like, no, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't have any control over that. But when a baby does come forward, it's a child of God. It's born because he bore it. But God, born of God, it has God's image on it. It has God's stamp on it. Whatever you choose, it doesn't matter because you're his. God says, you're mine. I want you to graft you and I want to adopt you into my family. That's why we're here. We don't need all these other things. We need some clothes. That'd be important, but we need God. Desperately need God. So as a church, we say, you know, what are some kind of foundational things that we need as a church? Well, we need the Lord. And the more that each one of us focuses on the Lord, the better we'll be. Not that God is going to be like, well, now that you got your act together, all you guys, then we're going to, you know, the more the Lord will show up. Like, not like that. But just, you know, individually, as we focus on God, man, that just, we just need that so desperately. So we've got this great idea about being adopted and grafted in. Then we've got this great foundation. And let me share something. I love Lego, man. I don't know about you guys. Like, I grew up with that. Like, just, you know, Lego, you know, putting them all together. And so we're watching a series on TV right now called Lego Masters. And so there's, like, these all these people from around the world that just are adults that play with Lego. I know it's kind of weird. So I got kids, so I got an excuse or something, right? And so they come to this competition to build Lego. And they had them build, like, this bridge, this massive bridge. And they said, let's see how much weight we can put on that bridge. How much weight can this bridge hold? So you can see this like Lego bridge with all this weight they kept putting on it until it actually broke. And so I want us to think through the idea that as we look at scripture like we just shared, that might be news to you that, you know, you're invited in, we're his, we're grafted in, we have his stamp of approval. God just wants to have relationship with us. He loves us so much that that's our foundation. And that no matter what life puts on it, it actually won't break. You know, eventually they put enough weight on that thing and it snapped apart. It was kind of cool. I wish somebody would kind of stand out and kind of jump on it, but it didn't happen. And so when we look at the world that kind of comes at us sometimes, what do we do with that? And how do we handle that? Because we actually shouldn't break scripturally. But I think sometimes emotionally and physically we do break because we lose sight of who we are in Christ and what God thinks of us and how we can interact with the things that come at us. I think the more that we understand that, the bigger the foundation, the more that we can face. Isn't that just a great thought? And so I want to look at the story here in 1 Corinthians. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a story that's talking about the order of a service, and how Paul is saying, hey, your service is actually out of order. There's some things that are happening that aren't very orderly, and so I want to teach you some of those things. So that's the context of what we're about to read. And it's talking about a season of time where maybe the whole service is filled with speaking in tongues, so speaking another language, so that if you were to say something, I'd be like, I don't understand what you're saying. And so I had this experience happen to me. I was up north. I was at Camp Yukon, great place. Lots of sand out there and beautiful fishing and all that kind of stuff. So we're at this retreat. And it's a Filipino retreat. And so the person was speaking in Tagalog. That's the, you know, one of the dialects. And so I'm sitting there and there's like 100 Filipinos and they're all like, oh, yes, good, yes, great. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm like, this guy looks excited about what he's saying. I'm kind of leaning over, like, what did he say there? And I know some words, so I'm picking up some. I can kind of interpret a little bit. But it was awkward, like, for me. I'm thinking, like, it might have been a majestic what he had said, but I just had no clue what was being said. And so Paul is saying the same thing here about a church order. Make it so people can understand it. Don't make it so confusing that you would just sit there like, I didn't know what he's talking about. You know, so heavy or so theological or so whatever, I can't interpret what's being said here. Make it, you know, common so that people can understand it in a sense. And so they talk about speaking in tongues. You know, there's a place for that. Talking about gifts of prophecy. And so prophecy, I think, sometimes is misunderstood when it's talking about in the church. And so we give prophetic gifts in our church. Sometimes during the worship, we have a prophetic team in our church, might give a prophetic word, and so we receive that. It's good. We can understand it. It's in English. We can make sense of that. And prophecy, the word is, you know, it's foresight. It's insight. It's intuition. It's anticipation sometimes. And here's what it says, if I looked it up. It says, to speak an inspired message, sometimes encouraging obedience to God, and sometimes proclaiming the future as a warning to prepare ourselves and so that we would be obedient to God. So a prophetic word is being given. And so Paul's saying, do that in your service. That's great. Just be careful you don't make your service super confusing. So I just need to give you a bit of context before we read the piece of scripture, verse 25. The secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God's really among you. I really pray, you know, I've been a part of three churches. So Omni and I met in a church in North Vancouver, great church. I moved up to Whitehorse. We're part of Bethany Church for like 16 years. We've been part of this church for 5 years. I hope that you sense that when you walk in, that you would say, I feel like God is here. I feel like God is among us. Because we're doing the things and we've got the foundation built on the Word of God. We're trying to be obedient to that. We're not perfect. I don't expect that to come across. But we're trying to have a foundation where we can grow. Where when the things of this world come at us, our foundation doesn't break. That we're consistent and faithful, and the things don't rattle us so much. And I know that there's times in life where things will just kind of derail you, it feels like. But just know that even though if you fall on a good foundation. If you don't fall off the foundation, you're still there. You're still on a firm foundation. Man, that's just a great thought. When we come to face the world, we think, okay, we've got a good foundation. We know that we're called. We know that we're adopted in. And so how am I going to live that out, though? That's for me personally, but how am I actually going to live that out? And so I want to show you a map of the world because I thought it'd be fun. Again, imagery is super important to me. There's a map of the world that as the Spirit of God moves around the world, he uses people and he spreads the gospel. So the darker colors are where more percentage of that country claims to be Christian or follow Christ. I love that. And so you can see that there's still like lots of work to be done around the world. And look at this second image. And this one's just for fun. This I just want to throw this in here. The second one is from this group. And they say that, okay, the green areas are established. The yellow are formative, like there's things happening. And the red is unreached, so we get that. And then this kind of gray area, not available, are uninhabited. That's all of Canada, man. Like, are we like, we're not even on the map. Like, what happened there, man? Like, uninhabited. Like, I don't know what kind of research those guys are talking about, man. I didn't want to listen to that map right there, man. We don't even, like, recognize all of Canada. Like, what the heck, man? So I thought that was kind of funny when I was looking that up. But as we go out into just the world, the gospel goes out. The Holy Spirit moves. And so what does that look like for you and I? How do we know that's happening? And so I just want to look at it really just basically scripturally. Because again, if we have this foundation that these things are happening in the world, then it just gives us confidence in who we are. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 60. And I'm going to look at an Old Testament piece of scripture, prophesying to the future. And then I'm going to look at the book of Revelation, what happens in the end times, because you and I live in the middle of there. There's prophetic utterances about the end times. And we know those kind of things are going to come one day. But you and I have to live here. And so as we live here, what kind of things do we interact with? What does that look like? So Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples." I wouldn't say like prophetically that's happening all over, but there is some darkness out there, and it is confusing for lots of people. "But the Lord rises up are above you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of their dawn. So as the world gets, you know, I wouldn't say darker and darker, but it's challenging times. As those times happen, the light will shine more. And people will be drawn to the light more. Not just a great thought to be able to stand upon. So when we think about, like, how could they do that? Or why would somebody make that decision? Why would our country change that law? We know that the more darkness comes, the more of God's going to come, because more light's going to come. Because I think we live in a time, in an era, where we're like the Old Testament people. We're living in the promised land. We're living in prosperity. And the more that we do that, the more that our heart gets deceived and wanders away from the Lord, because it's too easy. And sometimes it takes a bit of pressure and a bit of hardship. And I want to say a bit of darkness. I'm not calling that upon our church or upon you or an individual. But when pressures come, where do we turn? We turn to the light, because we can trust in the light. And so we see that in the Old Testament. And then we see, again, it's prophetically speaking to the book of Revelation. In almost the very last few verses of Revelation, the very last couple things that the Lord's trying to deposit upon us as people, how are we going to go out? Verse 22 of chapter 21 in Revelation. I did not see a temple in that city, speaking of, you know, really the end, near the end, or at the end, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb was its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring the splendor to it. So there will be this light. There will be no more darkness. And so that's what we look forward to. So our eyes never come off of that, because it's not saying, if we do anything, this will happen. It's just saying, this is what's going to happen. And so that's just wonderful to be able to stand upon that truth, knowing that the light will overpower the darkness. We just can stand upon that. Hey, I want to just deposit just a quick thought to you, a little sneak peek for next week. I'm going to speak on John chapter 12. But in John 12, 36, it says, put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. We're sons and daughters of God. We're to follow the light. We're to be drawn to the light. I had an image up here, and so it doesn't matter if it comes up or not. But you know those, because I have a mosquito bite here. Holy smokes, man, it's like a crater on my neck. I'm trying to hide it with my shirt walking around like this, so you can't see it. But I was out golfing the other day, and a mosquito obviously had a fun time there. And you know those machines that you have in your backyard? Some of us have it, like they're mosquito, like it's a light. And the mosquito is drawn to it, and poof. Now, we're not drawn to the light, and then, you know, we die. No, no, don't hear that. But just hear that mosquito is like, and it's just light, and it's just, it has to go there. I pray that we would be as childlike and as simple as that. We just see light, we see truth, and we're just drawn to it. It's not funny. It's good. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I apologize. That part's funny. Yeah. Okay. I was like, we're going to die and go to heaven. We all know that, but we're going to scare people away from our church. Come to the light, and then you'll die. You know, like, we got to edit that out, Chris. That's terrible. Have a free Bible. It'll be the end. Oh, man. I don't know, but I always say this to me. I don't know about myself, but I don't know about you guys either, man. Like, we're all in the same boat here together. Okay. Let's quickly wrap this up before we lose focus here. So again, we're all invited. It's great. We all know that. We've got the solid foundation. We're all grafted in. We're adopted in. And then we are given what we need desperately is help. We need the Holy Spirit. So thank God for that. And so this is the kind of people, the kind of church, the kind of nation that we want. Because everything else we look to in some capacity will let us down. It will fall apart. But we are solid. We're firm in our beliefs. We know where and who we can trust. And so I just thank God for that. You all know that. And so when I think about, you know, my sister being here, which is cool, I think about this idea. She knows that it's only by the grace of God that I'm doing what I'm doing. Because I was a mess. I was wrecked. And someone got a hold of me and put me on a good, firm foundation. Amen? Okay, so let's close in a prayer. Father, today, this morning, we had some fun together, but ultimately, Lord, we need your truth. We need a move of your spirit. We need your light to guide us. And so when I just even think about the times right now as our church is faced with, I don't want to say a dark time, but as Pastor Ben and many of us are sick and in the hospital, like it seems like a really challenging time. Lord, I thank you that the light is still there. The light hasn't left. It hasn't gone somewhere else. It's still right there with us. And so thank you that you're with Pastor Ben today. Your Holy Spirit's there comforting him, healing him. I thank you that he knows. He hasn't been rocked by this. He knows his foundation. He knows where he stands. He knows who loves him. And he keeps his trust there. And so, Father, today as a church as well, would we do the same? I think, you know, for me, I needed to be adopted in. And I think there's some people here as well that are sensing that as well. It's nothing of our own accord. It's everything of you, Lord, that you take us and you graft us in. Put us in a good foundation. You attach us to a good root. Not a wicked root or a rotten root or an evil root. You give us a good root so we can produce good fruit. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you that it's not about what we do. It's all about not even what you do. It's about who you are. So thank you for who you are. We just give you all the glory and the honor and the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.